Oliver Wendell Holmes was an American physician, poet, and lecturer in the 1900s. He was regarded as one of the best writers of the 19th century. And one of his famous quotes went like this: "The great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. Not where we stand, but in what direction we are moving." That quote is very telling in today's world. Many people take a stand on this issue or that issue, but the underlying truth is, in which direction are we going? A recent article in the Wall Street Journal analyzed the polarization that is happening in this country, which has been happening very rapidly, and they had certain opinion polls to some pertinent questions. The issue of gay marriage, immigration reform, and should abortion be legal all or most of the time. And according to the results from this poll, the majority of people now seem to be leaning in a liberal direction. And The Economist magazine added that there's actually been a surge in public support in some of these issues. Now, this has been a rather recent trend or phenomena that people feel that if the majority think this certain way, that's the way we ought to move. If the majority are voting like this, then it must be right, and that's what we should do. But do we conform to what people think? Is what people think necessarily right? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah addressed the behavior and the lifestyle of the people of Judah in this section of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 8, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 9. Jeremiah chapter 8, and let's begin reading in verse number 4. And previously, he's addressing the leaders of the country that had led the people in the wrong direction towards idolatry and breaking God's laws. Then we read in verse number 4, "Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return?" Verse number 5, "Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit and they refuse to return." So God's addressing the children of Judah that they are backsliding and they're not repenting or returning back to God. They refuse to. Verse number 6, "I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness." So the children of Judah had plenty to say, but what they were saying wasn't right. Continuing on, the middle of verse number 6, saying, "What have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle." Turn to his own course. In other words, keeps going his own way. His own way which he thinks is right. Verse number 7, "Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift and the hollow, observe the time of their coming." In other words, they know when it's the natural time for them to return. "But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord." My people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Today's English version reads like this: "My people do not know the laws by which I rule." Don't even have a clue. Losing track of God's laws. Verse number 8. "How can you say, we are wise, and the Lord and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood." Writing down all kinds of things, falsehoods, and they say, "We are wise." Verse number 9, "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So, what wisdom do they have?" A trend in society, just like there is today. We think we know what's right. We speak things and they're right. And yet, God says, what wisdom do they really have? And the bottom line is, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And there's a connection to not having the right amount of wisdom. What wisdom do they have? Jeremiah chapter 4, just a few pages back. Jeremiah chapter 4. In verse number 22, Jeremiah 4:22, "For my people are foolish. They have not known me." Harkens back to Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, that they have no, there's a lack of knowledge of God in the land. "They are silly children," or foolish, as the margin says, "and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." Wise to do evil, but to do good, they have knowledge. Well, that fits in with what we've seen this last week in the events in Boston. Wise to do evil. You know, there's all when you look at the news reports that came out this last week, there's all kinds of information out there on the internet on how to make bombs, how to destroy people's lives, how to, you know, get guns, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of information out there to do evil. But how many people are looking for the things that make you wise? Today's English version reads like this: "They are experts at doing what is evil, but failures at doing what is good." And unfortunately, that sums up society today. Our information, our entertainment is laced with killing, with hurting, and with evil. But the knowledge of God's ways are being rejected. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. There's a lack of wisdom in the land, people that are rejecting God's knowledge. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, and we'll be reading verse 26. Proverbs 28, 26. "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." Notice the phrase, "whoever walks wisely will be delivered." Walking wisely refers to trusting in God, in contrast to trusting in self. One who trusts in himself, follows his own mind, his mental resources, which is the way most people do today. Verse number 18, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off." I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong. 28, verse 18. "Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall." The result of a righteous lifestyle is walking with God. It's the source of safety, security, and protection. The title of today's sermon is "The Walk of Wisdom." The Walk of Wisdom. Today, let's examine the walk of wisdom. The walk of wisdom is a way of conduct. It's a way of life. And it comes from our relationship with God. This sermon is a continuation of the theme of going forward from the days of unleavened bread. If you recall my sermon on the last days of unleavened bread, we talked about going forward. We've examined ourselves. We've come to see the sin in our lives. We want to leave that sin in the dust, and we want to go forward, growing in the fruits of the Spirit. But sometimes we ask, how can we go forward? How can we grow? Well, in the last sermon that I gave a couple weeks ago, we talked about the walk of a peacemaker, that a peacemaker is a very attribute of God in Christ. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9 says that the peacemakers will be called exactly sons of God. And walking as a peacemaker and developing the right relationship with God is a way that we can walk forward and grow in the fruits of the Spirit. Walking in wisdom is another way to go forward this coming year. And there's a connection between walking in peace and walking with wisdom. It's a gift from God, and it comes from God, and it comes from being close to Him. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Wisdom is a gift from God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6. Proverbs 2 and verse number 6. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Here it is, summed up for us where we get true knowledge. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the internet. It doesn't come from other people or the way people think. It comes from Almighty God. Throughout the ages, people have sought wisdom. You know, back during the ancient times, they prided themselves on their wisdom and their sages and their wise people, their magicians, etc. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, all of them, they had their wise people. And yet, their wisdom was the wisdom of the world. It's not the true wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom that we should be seeking. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that wisdom comes from God. Wisdom does not come from the world. And the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthian brethren about avoiding worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll be reading verses 18 and 19. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. Let no one deceive himself. And there's a lot of deception going on in this world today, a lot of people who are deceived. This is talking to us as brethren. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Let him become a fool. In other words, discard this world's wisdom. That's not the true wisdom. For the wisdom of this world, verse 19, is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Those that think that they're wise in this world, their thoughts are really futile, is what this means. The wisdom of the world does not compare, nor does it coincide with God's wisdom. Let me give you some definitions of wisdom. I think this is very important to analyze as we go on in this particular sermon. Here's the first definition from F.J. A. Hort, who is an Irish theologian. He defines wisdom, and I think it's very good. It reads like this. The wisdom is the endowment of heart and mind which is needed for the right conduct of life. In other words, wisdom fills the mind and the heart and leads one in the right conduct in your life. Here's another definition from the Aid to Bible Understanding. It reads like this. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge and understanding successfully to solve problems, to avoid or avert dangers, to attain certain goals, or to counsel others in doing so. So wisdom helps us to solve problems. And we all have problems in our daily lives, don't we? Things that we deal with on a daily basis. Wisdom gives us that help to solve those problems. It helps us to avert dangers. There's all kinds of dangers. We saw it on our television screen this last week. Things can happen any place, anytime, anywhere. Wisdom helps us to attain certain goals. What's the most important goal that we have in our lives? The kingdom of God. Wisdom helps us attain that goal. Wisdom also helps us to counsel others in doing so. People, maybe friends, family members, children, your children that can come up to you and say, I have this question. I have this problem. Can you help me? And you're able to give them good counsel because of the wisdom that you have attained. One more definition from the Bible Reader's Companion, or actually it's more of a comment than it is a definition. It reads like this. Wisdom focuses our attention on a person's basic approach to life, the values and commitments which find expression in his or her lifestyle. Helps us in our commitments in life. And it's expressed in our lifestyle. The way that we live, or as I put it, the walk of wisdom. Wisdom applies a breadth of knowledge and a depth of understanding. God wanted the leaders of ancient Israel to be wise people, to lead his people in the right way when they went into the promised land. Let's notice that in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Not only did God want the leaders of ancient Israel to be wise people, but he wants us as leaders in the kingdom of God to have that kind of wisdom as well. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is the account of Moses speaking the words to the children of Israel that are going to go into the promised land. And he begins to tell them, giving them instructions. And specifically now, we're going to read the address to the leaders. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 13. Choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. Notice, wise, those who can apply the knowledge that they have. Understanding, those who have discernment and can judge matters. Knowledgeable, or as it's in the, if you're reading the Old King James, it says known, or the better translation is respected people. Not only well known, but they're experienced. And you can respect them because of that experience. Continuing on, verse number 14. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. It's good to have wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men to lead us. Verse 15. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and knowledgeable men, and made them heads over you, leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens, and officers for your tribes. And you know, in God's kingdom, there's going to have to be those kind of leaders as well. It's expressed in other parts of the scripture as being over 10 cities or 5 cities or 1 city and leading those people in the kingdom. Verse 16, then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the stranger who is with him. And how can we judge righteously? We have to have that wisdom from God, that gift from God. And it comes from that relationship with God, walking with God. Verse 17, you shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. You know, when you're close to God, you can have that judgment that God will give you that discernment. The case that is too hard for you, bring it to me, Moses said, and I will hear it. So, knowledgeable, understanding, and wise men to lead the children of Israel. Able to handle disputes, no partiality, able to treat all on an equal basis. Cases that are too difficult, you can take them to God. Expositors add to this commentary. It says this. Anyone who would be a teacher, who claims to be an expert with special understanding, is under obligation to show it by his good life. His good life, and respected because of the walk that he lives. He should possess know-how and be skilled in applying God's truth to practical everyday living. That's what a person who walks in wisdom will do. And being able to judge cases like this, what we're reading here in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Moses was one of the leaders of Israel, and he was a wise person. But you know, it wasn't the wisdom of the world that helped him in the things that he had to do. Let's notice in Acts chapter 7. He had to have wisdom from God before he was able to truly lead the children of Israel. Acts chapter 7 is the discourse by Stephen. If you remember, Stephen was addressing the council because they had accused him of blasphemy. And during this particular address, he basically gives a long history of the children of Israel. And we're going to read a bit of this address of Stephen talking about Moses. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. Notice, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when I read that scripture right there, I think about the movie The Ten Commandments. And I know probably most of you have seen that movie. It's been rerun over the years for many times. And they actually portray this rather well, that Moses learned from the Egyptians there, and he became well-respected and well-learned in Egyptian philosophy, astronomy, and all the things that they taught him. And remember, I mentioned earlier that the ancients were known for their wisdom, all these ancient nations. And it says here, not only did he have the wisdom of the Egyptians, but he was mighty in words and deeds. He was known for the deeds that he did amongst the Egyptians. You know, maybe he settled disputes. Maybe the things that he did, he was well respected in the ways of the Egyptians. Burns notes adds this about this description of the wisdom of the Egyptians. It says, Herodotus himself concedes that the Greeks derived much of their knowledge from ancient Egypt. Not a few of the Grecian philosophers traveled to Egypt in pursuit of knowledge. So Moses was skilled in the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now let's continue on. Verse 23. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And again, hearkening back to the movie, The Ten Commandments, they portrayed this very well. He saw that his brethren were being mistreated, and he goes to intervene on behalf of one of these mistreated brethren. Verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. He thought by intervening in this way, he would begin to show that he was going to deliver them, but they didn't understand this at this time. Verse 26, and the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? Now again, here's a man who's skilled, already respected in the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he's trying to reconcile what's going on between a couple of the Israelite brethren here. Verse 27, but he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? So what Moses had done wasn't very wise, and the children of Israel had seen that, and they were not having any part of it. Verse 29, then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. So another 40 years goes by after this particular incident that had taken place in Egypt. And you know the story. Verse 31, when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look on him. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, and I will send you to Egypt. And you know the rest of the story. God commissioned Moses to go to be that deliverer for the children of Egypt. But it was through God that he got the wisdom as he stood before him on this holy ground, as the burning bush was speaking. That's where he got his wisdom, the gift of the wisdom to be able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't from all the learned men in the land of Egypt. It was God that had given him this gift to be a wise leader. Let's examine now where we can get true wisdom. We know that it does come from God. Let's talk about this walk of wisdom that we need to have as we go forward in growth, growing in the fruits of the Spirit. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This section of Scripture addresses the product of wisdom. It addresses controlling the tongue, but it also talks about the right way to live, the way of life, and how that's a product of wisdom. James chapter 3, beginning in verse number 13. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let's stop for a moment and think about that and put that on a personal level to ourselves. Do we consider ourselves wise and understanding as we sit here amongst the rest of the brethren as members of the church? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. There's the formula right there. By our works, the good conduct, the way that we live, shows the kind of wisdom that we have. Good conduct. The Nelson Study Bible adds this: the person who possesses godly wisdom will meekly show it with works. The Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this: wisdom is not measured by degrees, but by deeds. Not by degrees, not by the going into my office and looking at degrees that I have or the amount of books that I have or whatever. It's by deeds. It's the way of life, the conduct that one has. It's not a matter of acquiring truth in lectures, but applying truth to life. That's what the walk of wisdom is. Notice this phrase, the meekness of wisdom. This could be better translated, wise meekness. A truly wise man or woman is humble. Wise meekness. Meekness is one of the characteristics that Christ displayed as he walked on this earth and as he preached to the disciples. He's the epitome of meekness, and it's his example that we should follow. Continuing on, verse number 14, this is the wrong way to walk. But if you, verse 14, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That's not the way that you want to, you know, focusing on self and self-seeking. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And unfortunately, that describes our world today. Most people seeking to fulfill the self, pleasure for the self, and what can I get out of this life for myself? Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. There's that connection between the walk of peace, the peacemaker, and walking in wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Here's a description of the fruits of the Spirit. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Like we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the leaders of Israel, the way that they should be, without partiality and without hypocrisy, able to judge their brethren in the right way. And notice the fruits of the Spirit are involved in this kind of walk of wisdom. Verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So again, the connection between wisdom and peace. A wise person walking with God in a righteous life is a person of peace. William Barclay adds this to this section of Scripture. He says, in the Christian wisdom, there is, of course, knowledge of the deep things of God. But it is essentially practical. It is such knowledge turned into action in the decisions and personal relationships of everyday life. Our relationships with our brother and the way that we live our life. And using that wisdom as we walk with God. So there's value in seeking that wisdom from above, godly wisdom. Let's take a look in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs talks about seeking God's wisdom and the value of it. Proverbs chapter 2. This is going to be a familiar section of Scripture we've read throughout the years in many sermons, many Bible studies. But let's think about this as we talk about going forward and growing and walking in wisdom. And going forward, growing in the fruits of the Spirit this coming year. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Proverbs chapter 2. And notice as I read along in this section of Scripture now, the verbs, the action verbs that are involved in seeking godly wisdom. My son, or daughter, we could add, if you receive my words and treasure my commands. There's already receive my words, treasure my commands. You know, like it was gold and silver, God's commandments. So that you incline your ear to wisdom. Notice the movement, inclining your ear, listening, readily listening to wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding, really shaping and molding the heart. I want God's wisdom inside of me. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Crying out in a prayerful way, on our knees. God, give me that wisdom that I need, that discernment, that understanding. You know, I ask for discernment in dealing with things with the brethren in my three areas, because sometimes there's issues and there's things that people, you know, go through in their lives and problems. And I need God's help as well to make discernment and to be able to help you. And I have to cry out and ask for that. If you seek her as silver and you search for her as hidden treasures, you know, if people would look like if they knew there was a hidden treasure of gold in their backyard, they'd get the shovel out and they'd be digging and be going at it as hard as they could if they knew that was back there. And the emphasis here, the picture is seek for wisdom in that way. Then, if you're doing all this, all these action verbs, receiving, treasuring, inclining, applying, crying out, lifting up your voice, seeking, then, verse number 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All of this, this seeking from your heart, you will find God's understanding. Verse number 6, we read earlier, for the Lord God gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's a gift if we seek after it, and really seek after it with our heart. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. We're talking about the walk of wisdom and walking and going forward. Wisdom gives us the way to be guarded on our walk, and preserves the way of His saints so that we can go forward. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. Wisdom is what we need to go forward, to walk with God, and to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. Notice this phrase, sound wisdom, in verse number 7. This word, sound wisdom, or this phrase, sound wisdom, can also mean abiding success or victory. Sound wisdom can give us victory. And the Greek Septuagint translates it salvation. And what is it that we are all, what's that goal that we're all shooting for? God's kingdom, salvation in God's kingdom. Sound wisdom can give us that victory to go forward because it comes from God. And God can give us that help to do that walk and go forward. Sound wisdom. It's a protection. It helps us in our walk, in our way. Expositor says, this verse, talking about sound wisdom, is powerful for His saints. Very powerful. Because it helps us to go forward towards salvation and towards victory. Notice that I talked about the action verbs here, seeking godly wisdom. Let's take a look at Solomon's example, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. We have to be seeking it on a daily basis to walk and go forward. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon knew what was in front of him and knew that it was so much to be the king over all Israel. And he asks God for wise judgment. 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 7 through 14. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 7. Now, O Lord, my God, You have made Your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And Your servant is in the midst of Your people whom You have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. He was overwhelmed by the job that was in front of him. Therefore, verse number 9, give to Your servant an understanding heart to judge Your people. He was seeking after that sound wisdom, Solomon was, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of Yours? Verse number 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. And how great will it be for God to be pleased when we ask for sound wisdom so that we can go forward in walking with Him. Sometimes we're focused on our physical needs and the things that we have, but to ask for wisdom is a thing that God is very well pleased with, and it helps us to go forward in victory, or attaining that victory. Then God said to him, verse number 11, because You have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for Yourself, nor have You asked for riches for Yourself, nor have You asked for the life of Your enemies, but have asked for Yourself understanding to discern justice, Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Then God added this in verse number 14. So, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. You've asked for wisdom. I'm very much pleased. Continue to walk in my ways, in my commandments, in my statutes, God says to him. And that's what he says to each and every one of us as we go forward as well. And God can be pleased when we seek wisdom from him. Let's go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And that's something maybe we don't think about enough. You know, as we not only go forward this coming year, but as we battle the things that we battle in our daily struggles, health problems, whatever it might be, our family relationships, give me the wisdom that I need, God, to deal with the things that I have. And God says, I will give it to you. And he will give it liberally, without reproach, it says here in verse number 5. And let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We have to have that faith that God will give us that wisdom that we need. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go back there to the Proverbs that was talking about sound wisdom and seeking that wisdom like treasure. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 1, Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Here again is that connection between wisdom and peace and the walk. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. A respected person, in other words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And if the majority of the people in our country and the majority of the people in this world would begin to do that, not leaning on their own understanding or what the majority of the people think today, but to begin to lean on God and His wisdom, we'd be living in a better world. Verse number 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct your paths. Direct our paths as we can go forward walking in the walk of wisdom. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse number 13. Happy or blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Nothing can compare with wisdom. None of the riches of this world. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Then notice verse number 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. A tree of life. The tree of life. We want access to the tree of life, eternal life, to live in God's kingdom. Wisdom, sound wisdom, can give us that victory as we go forward towards that tree of life and eternal life, living in God's kingdom. It leads us in the direction of eternal life. Psalm chapter 49. Psalm chapter 49. Just a couple more scriptures here as we begin to wind down. You know, we read in the last sermon on peacemaking in Zechariah chapter 9 that when Jesus Christ returns, He's going to begin to speak peace, to make peace, to be a peacemaker. But when He returns, He's also going to speak wisdom because He is full of wisdom. And He will begin to teach people wisdom as well. Psalm chapter 49, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 49, verse number 1. Hear this, all peoples. And imagine Jesus Christ thundering this out as He begins to speak peace to the nations when He returns. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Just as Jesus Christ will begin to make peace upon this planet, He's going to speak wisdom as well. Wisdom is what the teachers will be teaching you and I. And that's why we have to continue to walk forward in our relationship with God. The Nelson Study Bible adds this: the call for wisdom and understanding goes to all. Universal worship of the Lord. And when Christ returns, He's going to speak not only peace, but words of wisdom to all mankind. Finally, let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Very beautiful prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out from his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And that's what the saints, the rulers, the kings and the priests in the kingdom have to have: the same kind of understanding, the same kind of skill, the same kind of counsel and might and wisdom to be able to teach in the kingdom. Verse number 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, the way mankind typically does, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness using God's commandments. That's why we study God's word on a daily basis. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wickedness. Verse number 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. You know, when somebody in the ancient times began to walk, and when they went out to go out in the fields or their daily things, they had their belt on to keep up their robe and such. This is a picture of righteousness being part of that belt so that one walks forward. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, faithfulness the belt of his waist. And what will happen when this description is fulfilled in the kingdom of God? Of wisdom, counsel, knowledge being brought forth into the kingdom. Verse number 6. We'll finally have peace. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Then verse number 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And how is it going to be, this knowledge, dispersed throughout the earth? Not only from Jesus Christ, but from all the teachers that are going to be fulfilling Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 20 and teaching people to walk in God's way and walk in God's way of peace and wisdom. And the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord with such a wise administration and skillful rule that each and every one of us has a part to play in that. It will lead to a state of universal peace on this planet. Each and every one of us face the challenge of going forward in spiritual growth this coming year. Let's seek after God's wisdom, the sound wisdom that can give us victory. Seek it like treasure. Apply it in our lives so that we can live the righteous kind of life like Jesus Christ did. Let's walk in the walk of wisdom.